You're listening to Vet Candy.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Palmer. Thanks for joining me today. This is the Desk Winch Confessions. Let me tell you about myself. I'm Caitlin Palmer, better known as the Desk Winch. A desk winch is a profession very similar to a veterinary receptionist, only better. We deal with not only cranky canines and fractious felines, oh no, we have to overcome their human equivalents, Karen and Chad. My show is here to validate veterinarians and their support staff, and any of you other amazing, beautiful folks who might be listening. So without further ado, let me introduce you to today's guest. This is Dr. Cade Wilson. Dr. Cade is a practicing veterinarian and a clinic owner in Southern Oklahoma and the co-founder of Scoped Micro. And he's also a father with a family. So welcome and thank you so much for coming to see me today.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Awesome. So tell me about Oklahoma. Is it hot there? Because it's hot as Satan's armpit here right now.
You've been having it with all the rain. It's crazy muggy down there. It's still hot out here. It's not quite humid, but I'm ready for fall.
Our air is hot soup. I actually bought some pumpkin decorations today. I'm like, I'm going to pretend. I'm going to crank the air down all the way. We're just going to pretend.
And I lived for a long time in Alabama. And so all my friends here talk about how humid it is. And I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
I read books, you know, that take place in Maine and up north. And it's like, oh, it's so hot. And I'm like, what is it? Like 70 degrees? Shut up.
Come get some down here.
Yeah. So tell me about starting your own practice. What was that? A lot of people would be, I feel like a lot of people would be nervous to be the boss, like the big boss. But you, sounds like you embraced it.
So I opened my own business about 15 years ago. I'd been an associate veterinarian in a couple of different practices. And that was working fine until I got married. And I was like, I need a better game plan now that I've got more than just me. And so I evaluated the area we lived in and I wanted to stay in. I was like, we just need to do our own thing. And it was already a fairly saturated area, but that's where I wanted to be. And I knew what I brought to the table and what I did good. And I'm like, we're just going to do that really well. And so we did that. And that was an interesting leap of faith. But 15 and a half years later, we're a three-doctor practice and just continuing to grow. And life's really good. There was some tough times. Don't get me wrong. The end payoff is what we're doing now and in the future. So it's working good.
Oh, absolutely. Because you are the boss. Like, if something happens, you don't get to go ask somebody. It's, oh, well, crap. That's on me.
I'm the in-say, good or bad. And I've got a staff of about a dozen. I'm the only male in the whole practice. And I realize that I'm always wrong. And it's made me a better husband because I know when I just say, you know what? It's my fault.
Yep. That's the first step, gentlemen. That's what you do. Throw some chocolate from a safe distance.
Yeah, I keep my girls happy with ice cream and I just move on with my day.
There you go. So what is probably the thing I think about if I was the boss? I'm the one all the mean people are going to come complain to. So if your front desk is quote unquote rude, they're going to be like, I want to talk to Dr. Cade.
Yep, that sounds familiar. I've decided that if I ever do retire, I'm going to be a terrorist negotiator because I'm that. You just got to talk them off the ledge.
Some of these people are already, you're negotiating with terrorists, it feels like.
Some of them are terrorists, it feels like. So yes, I agree. I mean, the world is insane. Now, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
The desk winch, how did you become that?
Okay, so I've worked up front in the vet field for a long time. And, you know, people bring in pets and it's like, hey, do you know anybody who wants this dog? Do you know anybody? And of course, me being myself, I'm like, I want it. But my husband says no. So I sent him a picture. I took a selfie holding a pug. And I was like, can I please bring this dog home? And he's like, no, desk winch, get back to your job. I showed my office manager and she thought that was so funny. And it just kind of took off. She made me a little label for my desk. It says the desk winch. And it just kind of took off from there. So that was kind of fun. So now it's anything I do, it's like, oh, I'm desk winching. I call him. He actually works at a pet crematory. So I'm the desk winch. I work at the vet. He works at the crematory. So either way, you get your dog back. So that's kind of how we tell people, either way, you'll get him back. I mean, one of our practices calls him the pupsicle guy. So it's like, aw. But you have to, I mean, I feel like in our line of work, you have to kind of have a morbid sense of humor, because otherwise you'll just be sad and you'll just kind of cry and be upset all the time.
With the storm that came through, did you get about a lot of bad weather right there where you guys were at?
So where our home is was okay. We got some bad weather. We lost power for maybe about an hour and then it was okay. But because we're so close to New Orleans and Covington, they were devastated. So there's tons of people coming down, staying with family down here. And our boarding facility, it's just like blown up. Everybody's coming and staying. They're bringing their pets and they're trying to find a place to put them. And it's been insane. In fact, the other day when we closed out right after Labor Day, it was the biggest deposit I've ever seen because of all the people coming and picking up their pets and cats. We usually don't board a lot of cats, but just, you know, people need a place to put them.
Yeah, there's nowhere. Yeah, there's no place to go. So they needed a place for safety. So sure.
Sure. And we don't mind taking care of it. I love cats, but I just thought it was funny because it's like, we don't really, I mean, we board cats, but how many people board their cats? So that was kind of fun.
We used to do a lot of boarding and we did some grooming. Slowly just that's phased out as we just needed more room for medical patients. But people would call and like, can we board a cat? I'm like, yeah, they're the easiest thing ever. We just put them in there.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. Vet Candy makes learning fun with the most fascinating people on our planet. Our entertaining, continuing education programs are made for your streaming world. Fabulous, fun, and free. Available on demand, anywhere, and anytime. Don't miss out. Subscribe today on iTunes, YouTube, or a platform of your choice. Or visit myvetcandy.com for more information.
You're a regular, not a regular, because there's no such thing as a regular practice, but you're like a general practice. So y'all do a little bit of everything. You're a general practice. You're not like a specialty clinic.
We're general practice. Up until about 3 or 4 months ago, we were strictly small animal, but we have opened up a mixed animal, like a mobile service as well. So that's literally just been a few months ago. There's been a need, and so we've just started to try to figure out a way to help our local community and give back. And so it's a new thing, and so it just adds more adventure, right? I mean, you get new Karens and Chads. That's what you get.
Exactly. We had we were talking the other day about, you know, there's the crazy cat lady. Everyone has a crazy cat lady. But one of my doctors says horse people are the worst. They're worse than cat people, horse people. So I thought that was funny. Like, the people I know with horses are nice, but...
Yeah, maybe in a year I'll have more of those. But right now, mine are all small animal crazy stories.
No limit. So tell me about y'all have a resident crazy cat lady?
I'm trying to think who my resident... I mean, we have some crazy cat ladies. Here's my best one. All right, so about a decade ago, I had a lady come in, and as soon as I walk in the room, she said, and I introduced myself, and she said, well, you're probably not going to be able to figure out what's wrong with my cat. And I was like, oh, good start. And so she said, well, we've been to a lot of places. She moved around. She was like a PA, a physician assistant that moved around to do different areas, and she had a cat named Arnold, and I remember that because the first thing she did was hand me the cat's business card, Arnold P. Okay, and Arnold had his own blog on Catster, and I wish I were making that up. So I sat there and kind of took all that in. She told me the backstory on the cat's kind of waxing and waning disease process, and how everywhere she'd move, nobody could figure out what was wrong with Arnold, and he was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. So read through all the past history, and then I started, you know, physical exam, kind of worked through our normal things. And every time I'd bring something up, she'd go, no, we've already done that. You know, that didn't work. And she was just a delight, you know, initially. And so we started looking outside the box. And so worked through different testing, different things, and every 3 or 4 days I'd see her, and Arnold was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And so she would always tell me things from the cat's perspective, which was even more interesting. And so one day she called me and she said, I think it's just time to put Arnold to sleep. And I'm like, okay. You know, I kind of felt beaten up anyway. And so I was like, okay, so make the appointment. So she did. And so that night I knew that the next day was the day. And I was not forward to our visit in, on many levels. But and I, my kids were really young. And so sleep was at a premium. And so for whatever reason, I got up in the night and I couldn't go back to sleep. So I thought, I'm just going to read this stupid cat blog. So I went in and I found Catster and I typed in his name and I started reading his blog. So it was life through Arnold's eyes, spoken from the owner. And it was interesting. But as I read through it, I was learning things that she wasn't telling me. As I laid there, as it got closer to daylight, I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I know what might be wrong with Arnold. But she had had this long story the day before about how she was just tired of it all. And I think it was just time. So I promised myself that I was just going to say, hey, I could be wrong about this new idea. So I'm not going to drag her through the mud unless she says, is there anything else? That was like the word in my head. And so they come, I go into the room, we start talking, we're getting everything laid out. I mean, literally, it's drawn up. We're ready to go. And she says, is there anything else? And I thought, oh my God. Like, okay, well, funny story. I read the cat's blog last night and learned some new instances. So here's another idea I have. And she's like, oh no, we're doing it. We're trying the new idea. So we took the blood, sent off one last test, and it comes back. I can't remember even what the diagnosis was. Comes back positive. I'm like, no way. So we start treating him. He gets better. And then she moves, you know, she, with her normal life, moves away. I'd lost, 2 or 3 weeks later, I forgot about Arnold, moved on life. About a year and a half goes by, and all of a sudden I get a phone call from that crazy owner. If I want to talk to you about Arnold, I'm like, oh God, here we go. And she told me about their life, and he was older already. And she said, we put him to sleep yesterday, you know, just from not from his original disease, but he just was older and starting to have problems. And she said, but I got to have a year and a half with him I wouldn't have. And so by thanking you, our last post, we talked about you. I'm like, oh, that's great. And she said, I put your address on there. I was like, oh, okay, great. Over the next 2 weeks, I got letters from around the world. Arnold Pease fan club, New Zealand, Australia, Europe, half of the states. One lady from New Zealand sent me a key, like a blank. And she said, if you use keys like this in Oklahoma, make it your clinic key. And I'm like, what do you think I use? Like, we have like a skeleton key? I don't know what you're thinking, but I did. My key is actually that crazy cat key from New Zealand that gets me into my office for Arnold P. But I mean, that's not a crazy story, but it kind of is. And I've kept all those for bad days. I was dipping into my Arnold P file. But there are other crazy people. So I had a cat not too long ago that was older, and the people, I can't remember, this was a crazy cat person. Cat passed away and they brought it in for cremation. And she said, before you send him off, can you remove a molar so I can make a ring, a cat molar ring? And maybe I'd like his tail. I'm not cutting your cat's tail off. You can do that before you drop him.
You have to preserve that. And I mean, I don't think people realize, like, don't you have to preserve that? Otherwise, it's just going to be, it's going to fall apart. It's not like a lucky rabbit's foot.
Yeah, you would think. But you know what? People are crazy.
They are insane. We had somebody, these people, they had these Basenjis, and it's a pretty uncommon breed down here. And apparently it's a thing that Basenjis get hit by cars a lot. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but that's what they told me.
I haven't seen a high precedence for that, but maybe.
Sure. I mean, that's the only person with Basenjis I even know. But she had one, it got out, got hit by a car. And I'm not talking like it was just deceased laying there, like it had exposed brain matter, like its head was open. It got smushed.
Yes.
And she wanted to know if we could patch it up so she could have some more time with it post-mortem. No, like, no, ma'am, he's gone. This is just, no.
You guys see anything? Like, do you just do dogs and cats? Do you do other things as well?
We do dogs, cats, and large animal. So we have a few horse people. We do a lot of cows, mostly just routine vaccines, dehorning.
So no exotics?
No, I wish I would love to learn about exotics.
So one thing I've realized, most exotics have exotic owners. I've got some pretty funny stories on rabbits. I don't know if there's a high incidence for craziness with rabbit owners.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I never thought of that, honestly. The only thing I know, I'm like cursed with rabbits. I love rabbits, but I can't keep a rabbit alive to save my life. Like, for some reason, every time I've gotten a rabbit, it dies. So it's kind of a joke. Like, don't let me touch a rabbit because it'll die.
Yeah, all those feet were unlucky. Those were not lucky.
Yes, all four of them. How many rabbits have I had? All like 19,000 feet have been unlucky. So I finally just gave up.
Not too long ago, we had a guy come in and we neutered his rabbit. You know, he wanted this rabbit. And when he came to pick up and they were talking about, you know, the sutures, and he was appalled that the testicles were gone. He was expecting a vasectomy rabbit. You were talking about being the boss. I had to go up and deal with that. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know what that means? But I don't know. We had another lady one time call me again, really early in my practice. When we were open, she called and she said that her rabbit had worms and wanted us to look at it. And she's like, now I have a bad back, so could he come out to the car and look at the rabbit? And I'm like, sure, we'll do an in-the-car rabbit exam for worms. Walked out there, and the lady never got out of the driver's seat, just kind of pointed to the back seat. Large, like a Rubbermaid thing in the back seat. And I looked in there, and there's a rabbit. You could see a rabbit laying in there amongst other items. And I'm like, wow, he's not moving much. Well, that's because he had rigor mortis. You could literally pick him up like a frying pan, okay? And the worms were maggots. Real true story. At first, I looked around because we hadn't been open very long. I looked around like, are my buddies messing with me right now? Am I on camera or something? But no, real life. And so I had to explain, you know, the worms had just, it was too much. The worms were too much and the rabbit had passed. I was like, I've got no answers, ma'am. I can't help you. So.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Parents, this is your favorite lifestyle guru, Renee Michelle, and I'm excited to tell you about my new show on Pet Candy. Join me and make some cute pet stuff. Talk about life and love and everything in between. Check out the Renee Michelle show on mypetcandy.com and let's have some fun.
Oh man, we had one. It was actually really sad, but it's funny, you know, in retrospect. We had somebody call and they'd been bringing their dog. She was like 17 years old, this just decrepit little dog, and probably had been kept alive longer than it should have been. But, you know, she's not moving. She's not doing good. I'm like, okay, come on, bring her in. We'll look at her. And she brings her in and it's like you said, rigor mortis. She's on, you know, on her little bed, and it's just like you could like lift it and like pull it over. It was rigored. It was, whoa, wow. How did you not? But I guess if it's an old dog and it hasn't been moving around much, it was bad. It was bad. I'm trying to be nice. No, it was definitely dead. So, I mean, there's clients that only want, and like no matter what, they only want to see you. They don't care if you're out because you have coronavirus. They only want to see you. How do you deal with those people?
I try my best to just, you know, to facilitate that to my best ability. And there's days where you're like, I'm already doing surgery and I've got another one back here. I can't be in three places. And I'll try to go in and just like, have you met Dr. Emily or have you met Dr. Crabtree? And they're great. But still, there are some people that are like, no, you're the smartest human on earth and we want you only. But I don't know the right answer to that. I mean,
I don't either. I'll try to tell people, well, you know, so-and-so trained so-and-so. You know, this doctor grew up in this practice. They're doctors. They're both doctors. They have the same degree. If it's an emergency, you would think you'd take who you can get, you know?
I think the thing that's most frustrating, because it was frustrating to me as an associate, is I would walk in the room, I would say, whatever. And then look at you like you're an idiot. And then my old boss would walk in there, say the same thing. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's the gospel. The girls that work for me now, it happens to them, you know? And they've worked for me since they were kids. They know what I'm going to say before I say it. I'll walk in the room and I'll say the same thing. Like, oh yeah, we're going to do that because he said it. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know the right answer, but just know that people are crazy. That's the answer. People are crazy. And it's not just my people. I mean, when I talk to other veterinarians or places like you, where you're at, or Jill or some of our other friends across the country, everybody's crazy.
It's the same stuff everywhere. And I remember, you know, when someone calls, makes an appointment, they tell me it's one thing. I make the appointment. They tell the technician, oh, by the way, this is also going on. And then the doctor comes in and it's got something awful sick. And so it's only just been in the last couple of years I've just accepted that's just what people do, because I would always get very defensive. Like, when I scheduled that, it was just this. I was not told about this, or I would have done this. So it's just crazy what people do.
Or the veterinarian walks in a room and it's even a different symptom. They're like, it's doing this. Or like, well, you haven't told anybody else that. Why? I mean, that was valuable information 3 people ago. I don't know why walking in the room. And that's just, I guess that's a human tendency that it's not fixable. We're not supposed to euthanize the owners.
Yeah, we're not supposed to, but no, we didn't say that.
Not supposed to. So
we're not supposed to. Maybe we can spay and neuter some of the owners. You think that's acceptable? I think we should be able to.
That would cure a lot of things. A BOGO.
Spay your cat will neuter your husband for free.
For free. Yes.
Now, are you going to neuter them, or are you going to give them a vasectomy? Because that's what I want to know.
Depends on the person. Good segue. I've got a good segue that this person probably should have signed up for that. So I literally was right out of vet school. So 17 years ago or so, and I had a lady come in the office. And again, you know, when we get out of school as veterinarians, and I'm sure this is for everyone, we know just enough to be really dangerous. Okay. I mean, we haven't seen it all. So I walk in this room and the lady starts telling me a story about her dog has mange. She dog has mange. So I'm looking at the dog and I mean, doesn't look that bad. I mean, maybe some flea bite, hypersensitivity, you know, maybe a little hair loss, but nothing that I would have thought, oh, wow. Yeah, this, like, well, we need to do a skin scrape. And so we do a skin scrape and I find nothing. Now, I'm not the world's greatest skin scraper at this point. So I'm thinking it's me. Okay. So I go back in the room. I'm like, tell me the story. Well, this is my husband's dog. It sits on his lap when they're watching TV and he is broken out. And we know he has gotten mange from this dog. I go, okay, what do you mean broken out? She's like, he's got whelps. And
the husband's broken out?
The husband's broken out all over his upper thighs and groin area.
Oh, like where the dog, okay, okay. Was he naked when he was holding the dog?
And she said, now the dog likes to sit on my lap and I'm getting it. I'm like, okay, this is not adding up. So I skin scrape the dog some more. And I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with this dog, but I'm going to treat it with something.
Sure.
And I'm going to say, ma'am, if you're getting some sores, you need to go get tested too. And then depending on what you guys find, I can give you different medication. So out they go. And a few days later, she calls me back and she said, she wanted to speak to me, front desk. I'm like, oh God, great. She hands me back the medication. She wants to speak to me, right? The front desk. I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong, right? So I go and she says, I'm going to give you back the medicine you gave me yesterday because I don't need it. And I was like, okay. She's like, All I need is a good attorney, and my husband's been cheating on me, and I don't have mange, I have crap.
Oh, no! Oh, poor thing!
I just about died laughing. I'm like, I couldn't laugh. I was trying to be professional, but I'm like, yeah, the medicine I sent's not going to work. So, yeah.
I'm speechless for one of the first times in my life. What the hell? Poor thing. Oh, no. That's why their laps were burning.
I was like, wow, that explains the broken out thighs and area. I mean, people are crazy. You know, what do you do? I didn't know you went to the vet to get that diagnosis.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's so, oh, poor thing. And then, because I think it's funny, too. People will call and they want to talk to the doctor. Hey, can I talk to Dr. So-and-so? Well, I can't just call my doctor's office and say, hey, I need to talk to the doctor. They're like, well, no, you know, what's going on? I can leave a message. Do you want to talk to a technician? Do you need to make an appointment? I will only talk to Dr. So-and-so. Okay, so I leave a message. They almost always come back up front. They're like, can you make them an appointment for this day? I'm like, really?
Well, the other thing, kind of like that last story, people tell us things. You're like, why? I don't need to know that. I don't need to see that. You know, some of the people like pull up the shirt or pull up all kinds of things. You're like, hey, impressive, but I don't want to see that ever again. I'm just like, why is that okay?
And I think I love it. And even, I think it's just sometimes right after I leave work, I still have my customer service voice. You know, hey, how are you doing? I'd gone to the dollar store and I was checking out. And the girl starts telling me, and this, you know, this starts as, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good today. How are you? Oh, and she goes into this whole story about how she's pregnant again. She's already got 3 kids. When she was a teenager, she left and joined the carnival and left one of the kids with her mom. But now she's pregnant again. And now she's, and I'm like, I didn't actually mean, how are you doing? I was just mean.
Yeah, I was trying to be nice. We're Southern. We just say nice things.
How's your mom and them? They're fine. Even if they're not, they're fine.
They're fine. Moving on. And I think that some people, I obviously have this face that people just want to tell you, like you ask that question, like word vomit.
Do you get a lot of people, and maybe it's more on the phone, but I'm sure it's in the exam room too. You say, well, okay, so what's going on? We're having some trouble with our skin or, you know, whatever. It's, well, I got her when she was a puppy. There were 3 in the litter and I was going to get this brown one, but then I saw this one and it was black and it made me think of my childhood dog growing up and that dog had heartworms. So I chose this one. And anyway, so I got it home and it pooped on the floor and they just keep going. It's like, what?
You're trying to find the minutiae. You know, I had somebody text me on the emergency phone last night and it was just whole long story about their water well was causing the sickness for this one specific dog. By the time we get to the end of the story, that female dog had 2 puppies 2 days ago and had a third one 48 hours later. But it had to do something to do with the water.
That's how you get pregnant, right? Is well water?
Dirty water. Yeah. It depends on where you're swimming.
I mean, that's what they told us growing up. So
people have this crazy route to tell you some things. And you're like, wow, we shortened it up by about 17 minutes.
Right. How do you professionally, kindly say, what the hell is going on with your dog's skin? Why are you here?
Yeah, it's hard because I don't want to be rude. And a lot of people come in there, they want to talk. I mean, especially now, they have been at home. They don't see anybody. They have paid for my time. They're, by God, they're talking to me. And I think a lot of times I just like say, well, what about, and you just like cut them off. Like, now we got to focus on this. But there's some clients that they tell you, and then they go right back to their story. And you're like, oh, wow. I'll look at my technician and I'll say, I'll come get you. I'll come get you when I need you. Let's just let it roll.
We have a few people, and like I think they're just lonely. You know, there's a lot of older people in our area, and I think they just want to talk to somebody. So if I'm not that busy, yeah, I don't mind talking to them, you know, about their pets. I love talking about people's pets, obviously. But it's, you know, we try to give them some time, but there does come to a point where it's like, okay, what can I do to help your pet?
Yeah, well, the bad news is I'm a talker too. And so I'll engage them, and then the girls will open the door and they'll just like look at me. And that's like the international symbol for wrap it up. You got other people waiting. And then I'll just tell people, I'm so sorry, you know, I got to go. And so, I mean, there's certain people that are worth talking to and spending time. There's certain you're like, how am I going to fake this stroke?
Does anyone else smell burnt toast? What's going on here? Isn't that a stroke sign, a burnt toast?
One of my girls about burnt down the clinic popping popcorn one time. So that's a joke at ours. I'm like, oh my gosh, I smell popcorn burning. I'll be right back. How about this? I mean, you might have this at your practice. Does anybody like write funny things on the chart? Like maybe improper?
Always. Yes.
You've got a new other receptionist or somebody new taking notes. I love when new people come in. I'm like, oh good. There will be nothing professional about this at all. I cannot wait.
Love it. And I like to leave unprofessional notes for the doctors too, which we're a small practice. So we're all kind of, we're close. We joke. We all know that we have potty humor. And one of my doctors, he actually went to school with my husband. And one of the things they did in high school was draw inappropriate things all over the wall, you know, anywhere. They were drawing dicks. They were drawing dicks all over stuff. So I would draw, when I first got there, I would draw him a little rooster down at the bottom of whatever note, like, hey, so-and-so called, can you call them back? And I draw a rooster and it was understood. I told Alyssa that. She says, oh yeah, I don't know that would be acceptable in other practices. It's probably not.
No, my wife, she's always worked for like large corporations. And so she's always like, okay, like, what is her buzzword? She's like, you know, just improper items. I'm like, I work in a small practice. I'm sorry. We deal with some terrible things. We laugh about improper things. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. We get anal glands on us sometimes. I mean, it's literally booty juice. So how can you not be easy with other people?
No, I mean, if you get out of work and you don't have some sort of bodily secretion or fluid on you, did you really work?
You didn't do your best if you don't have something. Exactly. You, one of these new age kids always on your phones. These millennials want everything right now.
Yeah. Well, they get some anal glands on right now. That's what they should be getting.
Poor dogs probably like, I wish you would have got my anal glands like 3 weeks ago. This has been miserable. Aren't you glad people don't have those? Like, can you imagine getting nervous and just stinking?
I mean, people are gross enough as they are. Most of us in veterinary medicine think people are gross, and we're right.
Do y'all love abscesses?
Yes. I've actually got some pretty stellar rupturing them on video, like slow-mo, even better. So I just send those to you.
Like cat bites? Y'all get a lot of cat bite abscesses?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Those are the best.
Yes. Oh, they're so good. What about bot flies? Do y'all get bot flies?
We do. Yes. Those are even, I like those maybe better than abscess. I like doing everything we can to have the owner of there when we pull that out because they completely freak out.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hi, this is Shay, and I want to tell you about my new show on Pet Candy, Cooking with Shay. I make vegan eating easy and fun. Check it out on Pet Candy TV.
Some people, and I forget sometimes that people who aren't in vet med or around animals a lot don't think that that's awesome or funny or cool or whatever. I was having lunch with a friend one day. We were at Panera Bread talking about ruptured anal glands and surgeries. I was like, oh, you know, ACL surgeries always make me hungry, makes me want a turkey leg. We looked around, there's people kind of like, what are they talking about? That's disgusting. You're like, oh yeah, not everybody's cool. Some people are lame.
Yeah, there's a couple things. So like the other day we had a dog come in. He'd been lost for a couple of days, had a sore. Had a bunch of maggots on that sore. And so we put those on a slide to look at them under the microscope. Have you ever looked under a microscope, by the way?
No, I haven't.
They have teeth. I was unaware of that. They look like a walrus. I swear to you. Yes. And so we haven't talked about my microscope adapter, but we use that microscope adapter to film through the iPhone. And one of my girls is like, I can't look at that ever again. That just totally grosses me out. But they have literal teeth. I was unaware of that. The things that we do, like we'll be in the back working on who knows what kind of grossness, eating donuts or eating pizza. And people be like, how could you eat? I'm like, why wouldn't I eat? This is normal life. But yeah, we are veterinarians, veterinary technicians, assistants. We're a different breed. There's no doubt. The world would be better for us.
Whenever we eat noodles, I'm like, oh, they look like heartworms. Oh, no, don't eat. I'm like, oh, look. Because I Google, because we don't do them at our clinic, but I wish we did. And oh, now I'm going to look bad because I forget the name of the surgery, like the Cavell syndrome, where they go in and pull out the heartworms through the jugular. Oh, that's so cool. But I remember the first time I watched one of those videos, I was like, those are egg noodles. My husband's like, no. I'm good. I'm good without knowing the texture of a heartworm in my mouth. Speaking of heartworms, we adopted this old, scabby, really sad dog from the shelter, and he started his heartworm treatment today. So to our listeners, if you have a dog, go ahead and get him started on heartworm treatment. Heartworm treatment is not fun.
No, we do a lot of them out our way. And it's just, it literally is amazing to me. It literally is 100% preventable. 100. I mean, 100. And it's just, people don't do it. I mean, and I think the fact that we can do a pretty good job of getting them back makes people even less likely. They're like, oh, well, if they get them, we can fix it. Like, no, not the same. We see a lot of them, a whole lot of them.
We do too. And we, I mean, it's South Mississippi. They're spread by mosquitoes and a lot of people. And that's part of our job too, is educating people. Heartworms are spread by mosquitoes. It's not dog to dog. It's not, you're not probably, well, I guess there was like one guy, but you're probably not going to get the heartworms. Just put them on this chew, give them this shot. It's very affordable. But he came to us with heartworms, so we're treating him now. And it's, you know, somebody at some point got a cute puppy. It grew up into a dog, and they got rid of it. And now we're taking care of him, which we love and wouldn't trade it for the world. But it's, you know, if you get a dog, please be responsible. Put them on heartworm prevention.
There's no doubt. I mean, we deal with that all the time. You guys do too. We all do, where you're like, I mean, I don't know. It's like beating that dead horse. You're like, I can't do it for you. And get the client that comes in, they've got 47 dogs. You're like, you can't take care of them all. How about we get three? And we do really good with three or five. But you do more than that, I don't know how you're going to do all the things you need to do. They all need homes, but goodness gracious, come on.
Absolutely. That's just part of being a pet parent, is taking care of them. And it goes beyond, especially in the South. You know, I was raised up, you feed them, you water them, and that's it. they're outside, they've got food, they got water, they're fine. But now, growing up and being in the field, you learn a lot. And it's great to share that with other people, because they're not necessarily bad people, just kind of ignorant.
I was very similar to you. We grew up, we had outdoor dogs. I know when I told my dad, I was probably in my late teens, when I told my dad I was going to go to veterinary school, I don't think he'd have been more shocked if I'd hit him with a boat paddle, because he was like, we don't really ever go to the vet. Why would you do that? And now, you know, flash forward almost 20 years, he sees like, oh, wow, we did everything so backwards. But that's just how it was. You know, now the dogs stay in the house. They're in the house more than they go out. And our medical treatments are so different. I mean, I think sometimes my dad likes my dog better than he likes his grandkids. It's like bizarre world when I think about it, looking back on the way we did things.
It is. And now almost all of my contacts are in vet med or in the animal business of some kind. So you almost forget when you're on the phone that people don't know as much as we do.
You know, I pride myself on being able to take complex things and just being able to break it down to anybody. You know, growing up a country kid, I can speak pretty much any language you want me to explain some different things. And growing up, the different jobs I have, you just break it down to explain whatever complex thing into a layman's term. And I think there's an art to that, but you also forget, like, you start talking to somebody, you're like, wow, my volume of information that we're talking about is literally a Bible, and you've got one piece of paper. Sometimes you have to take a breath and go, okay, you don't know all this. We need to do our best to help you.
Absolutely. I thought it would be funny, because people are crazy, that we could read some bad Google reviews. Okay, so this is a clinic, I won't say where, but they've got really good, like a 4.8 on Google. And they got a bunch of 5 stars, couple of ones, or like a couple of fours, and then just a few ones. So I'm curious to see what their 1 stars are, if I can figure out how to do that without actually giving them a 1-star rating, because I don't know these people. I don't want to do that to them. Okay, here's a good one. Brought my son's guinea pig there, and they told me nothing was wrong with him, and he died the next day. They seemed clueless and not really willing to do much. They charged me $400 to tell me what I told them when I got there. That's sad. But I bet that's not what happened, though.
That I would be really surprised if you worked up a $400 bill on a guinea pig. I'd actually be impressed with that.
Yeah, this is kind of a high town. Let's see, pricey. Most stuff is going to be for the price. Very expensive. Rude staff. What's the worst review y'all have ever gotten?
I had a guy, I haven't looked at him in a long time because I've realized people are crazy. And I'm going to do my best. If you don't like me, I'm moving on in my life. But I had a guy that was driving through town that I helped on a weekend after hours. And I think they were going to they lived in Albuquerque or Phoenix or somewhere like that. And I wouldn't sell them some sort of, I think they wanted like some sort of pain medication. And I said, we don't need that here. You know, if we need that, we'll script it out. And your pet doesn't need that, you know, and what just declined it. And so he just hammered me on like a Google review, just all kinds of things. But that's been, man, that's probably been 10 years ago. And I was like, whatever. It bothered me for a long time because we work hard for people, you know, and we want to help our pets. But some people are just not nice.
Oh, absolutely not. And if they don't get their way, they're going to show their ass.
I don't know. It was several years ago. It was actually, I had a different associate for a little bit. And I think they had called in, I have to remember now, it might have been trazodone. It was some sort of pain medication. I can't remember what it was. And so I was supposed to be on a field trip that day. And so I happened to come in early to do a few things. My receptionist was taking a call and I could hear her just dealing with some idiot. And so I just told her, I said, put him on hold. I'll talk to him. Who you got? Well, it was the guy wanting a refill like 10 months later for some sort of pain medicine. And so when I got on the phone, he was just insane. And I'm shocked I never got a review about that. But as soon as I got on the phone, he said, well, who the hell are you? That's how we started our conversation. And actually, that's not how nice he said it. He said it even ruder than that. And I gave him one back. I'm the MF-er that owns this MF-er. And so that did not start our relationship well.
Ah, I wish I had been there. That's awesome. I feel like that's a mic drop moment.
I started laughing, which I don't think he really enjoyed. And I said, I'll tell you what, head our way. I'll start stretching. That's how it ended. But he never showed up. I'm shocked. But we no longer see it. People are insane.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, this is Dr. Quincy Hawley, and I'm here to tell you about a new show. It's Vet Candy Rounds with the Hawleys. That's right, Dr. Tierra, the love of my life, and I have teamed up to bring you the most fascinating cases in the world. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, or a podcast platform of your choice, only on Vet Candy Radio.
And to a certain extent, I can understand being upset, you know, if you got a bad diagnosis, you can't financially do what your pet needs. I can understand being upset, even being a little ugly, but people just go so far beyond that. And that's like with my TikToks, I was, you know, one of the things I've had people tell me, please don't make a TikTok about me. I'm like, I'm not going to make a TikTok. I'm going to make a TikTok about that bitch over there who's always mean to me, no matter what, doesn't matter. I'm very easygoing. You can have a bad day. You can say something ugly. I'm probably not going to hold it. But when it's every time, no. Now I'm making fun of you on TikTok.
I'll always tell, I don't know who told me this. I mean, it's been 20 some odd years. They're like, you never know what other people are going through. You never know. So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, it's so what drives me insane is when we have a fairly small practice. So I can hear, I mean, just because I'm in the back doesn't mean I can't hear what's going on up front. And so you'll hear the client just being really rude to whoever, everybody. And then I'll walk up there and they're just like, Snow White, just so dripping with syrup sweet. And as soon as I walk around the corner, I can feel the eyes of my staff like, that lady was a real bitch to me, but she loves you. How can that be? I have very little respect for people that are like that. I'm like, just be nice to everybody. It costs nothing.
Nothing at all. And you know, people, I don't think people realize this either. I'm more willing to help you if you're not a hateful sack of shit. I will ask that, like, I know this isn't usually our policy, but can we please do this to help this person? Whereas otherwise, I'm just going to be like, we don't do that. Sorry.
No doubt. I'm much more willing to help anybody if they're just nice. If you're rude to my staff, I said, my girl, those are my sisters. I spend more time with them than my real family. So if you're mean to them, I'm going to be mean to you. You know, that's the big brother in me. I'm sorry. We're going to start with being nice.
Exactly. And how awesome for your staff to know that you've got their back, too. Because that's hurtful when the doctor takes the client's side, no matter what. So that's awesome. That's amazing. Good job to you and your staff.
And there's times you try to, like, defuse the bomb. Everybody's mad up here. Let's just settle down. And there's times where you've got to be like, no, we're not doing that. I'm sorry. Well, there's other practices. If you love me, you should have loved them. That's just all there is to it. But people are crazy.
You're right. You're right. So at what point or how do you phrase it when a client oversteps a boundary and it comes time, you know, you've tried being nice. You've tried, well, let's try this. It gets to the point where you're just like, that's enough.
You know, that's a great question. It kind of depends on the situation. That's where that terrorist negotiator.
Yeah. Bringing it back.
You've got to figure out like, okay, I'm going to try this with this person. You know, and it's helpful. You know, I'm in my mid-40s and my parents, my brothers would really laugh. They heard me. But, you know, I'm way more patient today. And 27-year-old me would not handle those well. Tell people, hey, we can go out in the parking lot and finish this talk. That goes over less well at 44 than it did at 27. I probably can't back it up as well today. But depending on the situation, you're just like, we don't talk like that around here. We're going to be nice to our staff. You know, people will get mad. And, you know, luckily it doesn't happen that often, but you can't please all people. And guess what? When they leave that your practice, whether that be mine or yours, wherever they go, they're going to be unhappy there too. They're unhappy people. And there's times where I was able to, you know, defuse the bomb and it was great. And there's other times they go and they Facebook bash you. I mean, that's just what it is. And I look at it now that I've had 44 and a half years to like, this is who I am. And most people know who I am. And so they'll read that and be like, nah, that wasn't him. He didn't do that. You know, you're the crazy. But it's hard to tell yourself that in the middle of the craziness.
Oh, I found, okay, this is a good bad review. Okay. Well, sad to say my baby Lil had a tumor. This clinic won't, W-O-N-N-A, won't wanna do her surgery, won't wanna do her surgery. I'm very hurt I was referred out to someplace other. That's when I would just respond with the letter K.
That sounds like an I. moment.
They won't want to do my dog surgery. They send it somewhere. Okay, not all clinics are specialty clinics for the care of your pet.
I mean, it sounds like a necropsy would have figured that one out really quick. That's the thing is when you try your, they were trying to give them the best option and the people could not see that for themselves.
Right. And if you want to look at it from a jaded perspective, you know, if we don't do your surgery, we don't get your money. So for us to refer you somewhere else, for you to give them your money, that's in the pet's best interest. If you want to look at it strictly from, oh, you're just in it for the money. Well, if we don't do the surgery, we don't get the money.
You look at that, you're like, what do you want? You want us to just give it a swing? Try, you know, just learn on the fly? I mean, there's moments you have to, but there's probably somebody that could do that really easy and probably do it better. That's hard for us to say because we feel to do everything to help you. And so, you know, anytime I try to refer somebody, they're like, well, we want you to do it. Well, it may not work out well. I'm trying to help you.
Here's another good review. We had an appointment for today at 12:45 and have tried to reach someone for, and that's the end.
Yeah, I mean, their internet could have been down. Who knows? They could have had no...
Sure. I scrolled through one, and you know, people after our surgeries will call, or we have Ally DVM where you can text and say, you know, so-and-so's out of surgery. They did well. You can come pick up, blah, 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 whatever. It was like, well, I never got a call. I never got a text, but we have where it's sent on our end. And I try to tell people, you know, sometimes my phone doesn't ring. I'll just get a voicemail. And my phone never rang. It's not that you didn't try calling me. It's just technology. And there are some people that just refuse to believe that no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Right. Or I'll get to, I mean, throughout my day, there'll be like all these post-it notes that get stuck to my desk or a whiteboard or wherever that I'm going to follow up later in the day. Well, a lot of times I don't have time to call you till I'm done with my normal work day. And so I'll sit and they'll smile and be like, well, I called you at 2. Well, ma'am, I'm sorry. I didn't get to go to the bathroom till I just before I called you. What about the 30 people I've talked to in person before you? They were here. You left me a post-it note about your pet who's been sick for 17 days.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, this is Shannon Gregoire. If you're like me, it's tough keeping up with everything VetMed, but now I'm going to make your life a lot easier. Check out my show on Vet Candy TV, available on iTunes, YouTube, IGTV, and Facebook Watch. Catch up with all things VetMed with me.
And they do the same thing to us up front. They'll call, you know, I need so-and-so to call me. Okay, I'll leave him a message. And they call back. I guess you haven't given him the message. No, I did. He's in appointments. I know he doesn't get in until 9. It's only 8:45. You just called at 8:30. He is not here yet.
Or Dr. Wilson's in surgery. Well, can I see him right now? He can talk, right? Negative ghost.
Can you just put me on speaker? I just need to ask him about this flea pill that he prescribed for my dog.
His wife, his mother, or his kid's teacher? If the answer is no,
But did your pet die? I love these. A lot of these I'm reading are about curbside. And I know did y'all do curbside?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. What a disaster. I mean, as soon as, like, I know there were several practices that did it longer than we did. But as soon as they said, you can go to a restaurant, sit down and eat a taco, as soon as they could do that, you're coming inside. I'm tired of sweating.
It's ridiculous. And a lot of these people are, it sounds like it's more like cell phone trouble. Like I called to check in and I couldn't get through. It's like, okay, well, we only have 3 lines and there's 29 people parked outside. I know I would pull up to work and be like, please, please, somebody, something hit the clinic. Can we get a tornado, something? No, I'm just kidding.
We had always had like a back door to my office, but nobody ever went through it. And it was actually like a different key. I rekeyed it just so I could come in the back because I'm like, I'm going to get caught up front. I cannot go through that front door. It's not good. And so that was the that was one thing COVID taught me, is use the back door.
Yes. We would always tell our doctors, you know, like if there's someone like, oh no, that client's up front, like, doc, you want to stay out back here for a minute. Like, don't come up front yet. So, don't do it.
Well, this morning, my office is my day out of the clinic, but I went in my office and I was in my normal street clothes, which saved me. And I walked in the front door and there's a lady like filling out paperwork at the front desk. And as soon as I walked in, her back was to me, but I heard her voice. I was like, oh my God. I walked right across, walked right into exam room and closed the door and just prayed nobody was in there and just walked to the back. I'm like, wow, how lucky I was that she didn't turn around.
There was a little angel of vet med watching over you.
And I walked in the back and the girls were like, oh my God, so-and-so's up front. I'm like, I know, trust me. I tell me when she leaves, I'm not walking out of here till she's gone. I can't do it.
So tell me about your scope. Is it scoped or scoped?
So scoped micro. So scope, that's my other company. So the shortest version is this. So we have made an easy attachment for the phone you already own to attach the microscope that you already own. That way you can collect that data for the different things that I use it for. Is I use it to take pictures to put in our electronic or paper files. I use it to teach our staff or clients, because clients love to look through the microscope. And so we've just made a really easy way to either do that in person. And we also have an app that we can screen share with that I'll get back to in a minute. I use it a lot on social media. We do these little social media educational, you know, snippets that I can show people what we get to see through a microscope and then teach about that. You know, whether that's going to be different tumor types or microfilaria, we talked about heartworms earlier, different parasites. And then I can teach about that. And then that gives people something that they can take away and go, oh, wow, my pet does that. And then it pulls business back to the clinic that way. And then it can also be used for digital pathology. You know, I have one of my closest friends is a pathologist, and we'll share what my view is through our app that I can just broadcast my view. And we can talk through it just like a Zoom meeting, wherever they are. You know, he's in South Texas. I'm in North, you know, I'm north of him, 600-700 miles. And we can talk and do digital pathology live. And so that's the ways I use it. You know, I've partnered with a company called PhoneScope, which is actually an outdoor company. And that's how I learned them. I bought their phone case originally to film wildlife through binoculars. And you know, after doing that a little while, I'm like, I think I can make an attachment for my microscope. I worked my way through school a little while as a carpenter. And so I made the ugliest eyepiece you will ever see, but it worked. And over about 2.5 years, I kind of refined it. And then through social media, that company and I kind of connected. And, you know, to make a long story short, here we are 6 years from the beginning, and now we produce those for microscopes. And then for the last 2 years plus, I've learned a lot about apps and coding, and we've made an app called the Scoped Micro app. And that in that we've patented a way to measure, it's got a built-in micrometer that can be easily utilized for everybody. And then those broadcast functions to not only broadcast for consultations for a pathologist or even another associate, just to say, hey, what is this? I know the girls at work sometimes will send me pictures like, okay, I know today's your off day, but what the hell is that? You know, we can do that. It's live and we can do it. And we're learning new functions. You know, today I had a meeting with a local college that they're going to use it to teach cytology. They're really worried about with COVID, not everybody can be there. And so instead of the computer being, you know, back and forth with a microscope, the teacher can be there on Google Classroom, and then she's screen sharing with the app the microscope. And so they're teaching cytology from afar. We're looking at all the different STEM and educational capabilities. And so we're just starting. We're in our third month of actually being out there for the public. And so it's new, but it's really been exciting what we can already do, and then the different people we've met to further push that into digital pathology. That's going to be our next step, is a way to speed up that cytology pathology You know, like millennials want things now. They all use what? Our phones. And so it's just a progression that we can do pathology right through our phone.
Absolutely. And I know another thing at our clinic, with COVID, you know, you mail out your samples. It takes forever for them to get it. And then it takes even more forever to get it back. And in the meantime, the owner's calling, do I need to try this medicine? What do I need to do? It's like, we don't know yet. So that's awesome.
So we're really excited. Again, it's added an interesting flair to my life. I mean, I'm a full-time veterinarian. I'm a practice owner. I'm going to be at work, but it's some interesting levels to my life that I've added. And I've gone to some shows. My group's in Vegas right now. They're on a booth without me. So I've gotten a lot of texts like, my gosh, what do I say about this? And I've met some really interesting people. I talk to people literally around the globe. I've got people and I talk to in Israel and Morocco and Germany. And it's interesting how small it's made the world for me. And the other thing that's cool is, let me tell you a secret. There's Karens and Chads everywhere. And so it's been funny because everybody has the same problems. I don't care where you live. Everybody has the same problems. And that's been a fun thing to learn and go, hey, everybody's crazy.
Everybody. That's one of the amazing things. TikTok, I'll make skits about crazy things that have happened to me. And I'll post them and say, can anybody relate? And the next thing I know, I've got hundreds of people. Oh my gosh, this is so-and-so, you know, from our clinic, and tagging coworkers. And it's just like the accuracy of it's validating. It makes us feel better.
That's the one thing about social media is you can use it for good. You can use it for fun. People take it so serious sometimes. And I know in the middle of COVID, we're all like on lockdown. We were quote unquote, we're all essential, right? So we're at work. And now it's just you and your crazy coworkers. And you get stirred, even though you're getting the pets in there, you get a little stir crazy. And so we started doing, and I say we, the girls at work were filming me. But we were doing, what do we call them? We call them COVID, you know, like essential skills. I can't remember what we called them, but they would film me doing like the skill of the week. And so I taught people how to juggle on there. So it's on Facebook. You can go look. It's on Facebook and Instagram. But I taught people how to juggle. We did balloon animals one time. I taught people how to do the worm, you know, break dance. And we did how to do a backflip on a trampoline. So that was when we started like running out of ideas. And luckily, that's about the time we started getting to have people come in the clinic, because the girls are like, what's next? I'm like, it's going to get crazier. So we need to do these anymore. But yeah, I mean, I think that your TikTok videos and just having fun. I mean, it needs to be fun.
We take a lot of stuff serious. We see a lot of very sad, serious things. But at the end of the day, let's just have fun. You know, this is our lives. Let's just do it.
Well, have you had any crazy things that this week yet? I mean, I know it's been a short week, but I mean, did you have any really crazy ones yesterday?
Yesterday was insane. Our clinic opens at 8. So we get there 7:30, 7:45, count the drawer, do treatments, whatever. People are already lined up out the door. I mean, it was insane. People like cutting in front of each other. And it's like, it feels like the ideal personality would be somewhere between a hostage negotiator and like a kindergarten teacher, like Mary Poppins or something. Because we have to tell people, wait in line, wait your turn.
Don't touch your neighbors.
Don't touch your neighbors. Please put your dog on a leash.
Please put your cat back in that pillowcase.
Oh my gosh. Yes, they just carry him in. And it's like, hey, this is my new cat. It's like, go to a room right now, right now, right now.
I think they do that so they get put in the front of the line.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Now, we did have somebody bring in a cat on a harness. And it was this gorgeous, like Himalayan, beautiful blue-eyed cat. And it was so good. It actually sat on the floor by the owner's legs. It was the strangest thing. I was like, that cat's really, really sick because it's not being a shit right now.
The cat's neurologic. It obviously has a brain tumor. What is going on?
It's got, what is it, the dumb form of rabies where it's good. But we have a whole bunch of people calling. I need to talk to Dr. So-and-so. I need to get my dog in. Like, okay, I can work you in if you're okay with waiting. Well, it's an emergency. It's been sick for 3 weeks. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Can we drop off? No, I'm going to stay with it. No, ma'am. Your options are drop off or nothing.
And people are so strange about, oh, you're going to put him in a cage? Like, well, no, I'm just going to let it loose on the highway.
We have a lady in the back who just sits it on its lap and she just pets him the whole time.
Yeah, like that's a whole job.
The other thing is people are so literal sometimes. You ever get those, like literally what you tell them is it's black or white. I mean, that's it.
No gray, right.
We had one of those the other day where we were older pet and it was going to be a euthanasia situation. So we walk in the room and we're going to go over, like, I think you should always kind of talk them through it. And so I said, we're going to give the second injection. We sedate most of them. And so we're going to give it. The shot is the euthanasia medicine. And as soon as we push that in, you know, that's it, you know, meaning, you know, in a few moments.
Right. Well,
he took it as literally the needle goes in.
They're dead.
And I didn't see that coming, right? Pets up on the table. We had stated him and the technician's right there with me. And I literally put the needle in and the man stands there and he goes, he gone. And he looks at his wife, he goes, he's gone. And I haven't even done anything. I'm like, I look at my technician, she's like trying not to laugh. And I'm like, we need to hurry up, you know? And he just yelling at the top of his lungs, he gone.
He gone. Oh, that's sad, but it's really funny.
he yelled it. And I was like, all I could do, and it's quiet. It's like that moment you're trying to be like serene and sweet and screaming, he gone. I walk out of the room and everybody like looks at me. You know, we walk out of the room and the whole clinic's looking. And I think it was the tech that goes, he gone. Oh my gosh.
Now every time someone says, hey, is Dr. Wilson in? He gone.
You're trying your best to make it like this sweet, as peaceful moment. They sometimes surprise you with some craziness, for sure.
We had this, one of our techs had this sweet idea she read, and it was, we have like a euthanasia room. It's kind of a bereavement. It's just nice, you know, room. And she set up like some Hershey kisses, like give them a kiss from us, like some chocolate icing and just things that you don't normally give your pets because why the hell not? And people will be like, no, they can't have chocolate. It's like, you're literally here to kill him. give him the cupcake.
Yeah, let him eat a fried chicken wing. Who cares? Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore. But again, back to those literal people. I had a technician I worked with at 15, 16, well, I guess it's longer, it's before I owned my practice. So 17 years ago, and had this little old man, loved him to death, sweet as can be. Had this little poodle, and they both were ancient. Okay. The poodle had heart disease. We're just kind of getting him through it, and they needed to spend the night for some reason. I don't remember why. It's me and the little man and the technician who is about 22 years old, right? And so the old man goes, hey, doc, I'm going to give you these. Could you give him three of these every night, you know, like while he's here? And they were chocolate M&Ms, little M&Ms, right? And I'm like, sure, three of them? Sure. And so he gives them to me. I put them in my pocket and walks out. And the technician goes, you're not giving those to that dog. And I said, he just told me he gives him a couple every night. The dog is 20 years old.
Let him have his M&Ms.
Let's not be that literal. I mean, he's not going to die. But I mean, it's just, I don't know. Should I have given the dog M&Ms? Probably not. But did it kill the dog? No. And I gave the guy my word. So we're going to do it.
I'm the same way. We had, when I first started working in vet med, I was in the kennels. And we had this little old lady, and she had a Pomeranian and a pug. And she says, this is their food. I'm like, okay, you know, they're showing you, this is their food. This is how much I give them, blah, blah, blah. And these are their bibs. They need to wear these bibs. And you have to spoon feed them. They are. And I had promised, you know, yes, I will give them, I will use their bibs. I will. So I was the only one who actually did it. Had the little Pomeranian, had its little bib on, and I'm trying to spoon feed it. Like, here's the airplane. And everyone's like, no, don't do that.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, this is Dr. Julio Alonso, and I'm here to tell you about my new show on Pet Candy TV. You can learn all about how to take the best care of your pets. Stream at My Pet Candy 24/7 on YouTube, iTunes, and most other video platforms.
Well, this has been awesome, Dr. Cade Wilson, and thank you so very much. If people want to go online to find out more about Scoped and about you and your practice, where should they go?
Well, you can go for Scoped Micro, you can go to our website, which is Scoped, S-K-O-P-E-D, micro.com. We also have all the social media sites, Facebook, Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn as well. You can go to any of those. My practice is in Southern Oklahoma, Carter County Animal Hospital. So that's the name of our Facebook. That's the name of our Instagram. So if you want to learn how to do the worm, you can go back in time. You're welcome to go back and see all that craziness. We have partnered with some Vet Candy as far as we're a sponsor for some of the pathology pages and little Vet Candy minis in oncology as well. So we're really excited to be partners in that. But yeah, we'd love people to check out our stuff. You can on LinkedIn. I'm Dr. Cade Wilson. So that's another great place to find me. And I'm happy to help anybody do anything.
Well, we sure appreciate you being here, and we love us some Vet Candy. We love our listeners. Thank you so much. This has been a fantastic show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I love sharing these stories with you. And if you enjoyed this show, which I do hope you did, please hit that subscribe button, and you can always find me on Vet Candy and TikTok at Desk Wench. Until we meet again, have a great night.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
It's Vet Candy Radio.